Speaking of money, did you hear about the three men who were discussing how each one of them determined the amount that they were going to give to the Lord? First man said that he drew a circle on the ground. And then he would take all the money out of his pockets. He would throw it up into the air, and whatever landed on the inside of the circle, that belonged to God. Whatever landed on the outside of the circle, that belonged to him. And the second man disagreed with that approach. He said that, no, that was wrong. He said, yes, you do throw all the money up into the air. That's the appropriate thing to do. But the money that fell on the outside of the circle, that belonged to God. And the money that fell on the inside of the circle, that was what you kept for yourself. The third man said the other two men were both wrong. He said, but what you do is you throw your money up into the air, and if God wants it, he takes it. And, you know, if it all goes to the ground, well, whatever. Whatever falls to the ground, that's up, that's yours. Well, how do you determine what you give to the Lord? How do you figure that out? Well, today we conclude a brief series of messages on this question. How can you get and keep God's blessing? And a blessing is really any kind of a good gift that we receive that makes our lives better in some profound, important way. Of course, other people can bless us. We can bless other people, true. But the greatest blessings that we can ever have find their source in God himself. And God's blessings are as wonderful and as infinite as God himself. Anything that comes from God that enriches your life and makes it better in some way deserves to be considered a blessing, right? Yes. And God wants to bless us in many, many ways because he loves us as deeply and as comprehensively as any parent could ever love his or her child. Now today I want to observe the connection that God makes between tithing of all things and blessings in life. Folks, I didn't make the connection. God did. I want you to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Malachi. That's the book just before Matthew in the New Testament. And I want you to turn with me to the third chapter, and we're going to look at probably verses you've heard sometime before, 6 through 12. We're just going to walk through those scriptures together and talk about them a little bit today. Matthew chapter 3, I'm beginning at verse 6, and I'm reading through verse 12. Please put your eyeballs on God's word so that you know that the end of this this wasn't Rick's message. This is God's word to us, okay? Verse 6, Malachi 3. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. God's people in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, had once again fallen into idolatry, into rejection of God. And so God sent another prophet named Malachi to call them to change their ways, restore their relationship with God. What does it mean to change your ways, or to use a Bible word for change, repent? What does that look like? God's answer here might surprise you a little bit, because he doesn't say that the people of Israel should feel really bad about their behavior. He didn't say they should pray and read the Bible more. He didn't even say that they should go to the temple and worship God more. In the passage that we just read, God implied clearly that repentance, turning back to him, changing their ways, looked like tithing. Now, today's message is really a pretty simple, straightforward explanation of tithing and this passage in Malachi by just asking and answering seven questions. This passage on tithing is one way to talk about how we can get and how we can keep God's blessings. Question number one, what is the tithe? Well, quite simply, a tithe is it's 10% of your income, or a tenth. You see, back in Bible times, before the widespread use of currency, people brought a tenth of their crops, a tenth of their livestock, a tenth of their produce, and presented it to the Lord. And the tithe of your income belonged to the Lord. Yeah, here's what the Bible said. Leviticus, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. So it's quite right, really, to say that our tithe is not truly giving a gift to God, strictly speaking. Back in ancient times, kings claimed all the property in their realm as belonging to their kingdom. And the people who actually lived on the land and worked the land, they were given a portion of its produce only by the king's grace, because it was thought that he actually owned everything. Well, God actually does own everything in the entire universe. All of life. And life itself is a gift from God to us. And so in the final analysis, God is the true owner of all of our assets: cash, homes, cars, investments, real estate, everything. And the tithe then acts as this constant reminder to us that all we have comes from God and belongs to God ultimately. And so we present the tithe to him as a way of demonstrating that, yes, we recognize that the other 90% ultimately belongs to God as well. Tithing then is really an important act of worship. That verse in Leviticus that we looked at stated that our tithes are holy to the Lord. That means that they matter to the Lord in a very significant way spiritually. When you tithe, you provide evidence that you recognize that God is your king. You acknowledge that he owns everything. You gladly admit and rejoice in the fact that it's only by God's grace and goodness that you live and enjoy anything about life and about living. Second question, will I go to heaven if I tithe? Yes. Oh, just kidding. I just want to see if you're awake. The answer is no. People go to heaven. People go to heaven only because they've placed their trust in Jesus, who he is and what he did at the cross and the empty tomb on their behalf. Their sins are forgiven. God gives them the gift of eternal life. So neither the practice of nor the neglect of tithing determines a person's eternal relationship with God. Well, then the question that some of you may be embarrassed to ask, but the obvious one, well, then why tithe? I mean, you know, if I can receive the ultimate blessing of getting into heaven after my death, why shouldn't I just keep 100% for myself? Because you're going to miss out on great blessings in this life. If you're disobedient to any aspect of God's will in your life, you will forfeit the blessing that you might have derived from obeying God in that particular instance. Folks, you know, God is complex. He is beyond our understanding in many, many ways. But God can also be very simple. If you obey God, He will cause blessing to flow toward you. That doesn't mean that nothing bad ever happens in your life, but He will cause blessing to flow toward you. If you disobey Him, you will, in many cases, block the blessings that He wanted to give you. The fact is that you can be on your way to heaven today, but miss out on so many of God's blessings in this life. Some Christians, you know, they never develop a prayer life. And so they miss out on certain blessings in this life. Others never learn how to interact with the Bible meaningfully. They miss out on certain blessings in this life. You know, some followers of Jesus, we're content to remain slaves to things that we should find freedom from. Christians can be enslaved to things like, you know, anxiety, bitterness, unforgiveness, racism, sex outside of marriage, materialism. And if you stay enslaved to that kind of stuff, you miss out on so many of God's blessings in this life. So in the same way, if you excuse yourself from tithing and say, well, that's just not for me, you miss out on some kind of blessing in this life that God wanted you to have, that you basically forfeited. Number three, isn't tithing just an Old Testament thing? Isn't it just Old Testament? You know, the underlying assumption of that question is that followers of Jesus are not bound to follow the rules and the regulations found in the Old Testament. We've been freed from such legalism and rule-keeping through the free gift of grace that's available to Jesus, you know? Well, here's the thing, folks. Every good lie has a little bit of truth in it. Okay? And it's true. When we read the Old Testament, we need to read it through the lens of the New Testament. Okay? And it is certainly true that there are some aspects of the Old Testament, its teaching and its requirements, that no longer have any relevance to Christians. For example, we no longer sacrifice animals as a part of worshiping God. Aren't you glad? I am. I'm going to come and kill something every Sunday morning. I'm glad I don't have to do that. Okay? Why not? Well, because the New Testament makes it clear that Jesus's death on the cross was the ultimate sacrifice, and that made animal sacrifice unnecessary as an act of worship. In contrast, just an example in another direction, most followers of Jesus believe the Ten Commandments are still relevant for God's people today. You say, well, why should we follow the Ten Commandments? That's Old Testament. Well, because in one way or another, they are repeated in the New Testament. They're renewed in the New Testament. So that's why we continue to believe that the Ten Commandments have authority in our lives. So is tithing mentioned in the New Testament then? Well, it's not mentioned a lot. But here is something that Jesus said to the Pharisees that I think is of fundamental importance. Jesus was talking to them and he said, "For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." So here's how I live. If tithing was unnecessary, if tithing was unimportant to Jesus, he had every opportunity right there to tell you and me, his followers, to abandon it, to get rid of it. But instead, Jesus says that the Pharisees ought to, they should continue to tithe while focusing on the more important issues of justice, mercy, and faith. So it wasn't an either or for Jesus, it was both and. No, tithing is not the most important part of following Jesus. Nevertheless, I believe that right there, Jesus made it a timeless practice for you and me and for all of his followers. Number four, is a failure to tithe, is that really stealing from God? Well, folks, that was found in our text today. The prophet quotes God as saying, "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me." But you ask, "How are we robbing you?" God answers, "In tithes and offerings." When you keep anything that rightfully belongs to someone else, it's by definition a form of theft. And no matter how wealthy you might be, if someone withholds money owed to you, it's still stealing, right? Now, it's true, God doesn't have a cash flow problem. He never will. But to keep for ourselves what belongs to God is stealing just the same. Now, someone might say, "Rick, big deal. I mean, God's never going to miss my little tithe." But there's a second way that you and I can rob God that most certainly does affect you and me. When we fail to give God what belongs to him, we rob God of the opportunity to bless us for that act of obedience. God has so structured the universe in which we live that it runs by certain spiritual laws or rules that he himself has created. We do reap what we sow. And long before we ever came along, God decided that when we obey him in any area of life, we invite his blessing. And by the same token, when we disobey him in any area of life, we block or we forfeit a blessing that he wanted us to have through that obedience. And God doesn't just suspend the laws or the rules upon which he's created and founded the universe. A fifth question. Will God really curse me for not tithing? Wow. Again, Malachi quotes God as saying, "You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me." Ooh, that doesn't sound like the loving God described elsewhere in the Bible, does it? You know, that word curse conjures up an image of God as kind of a heavenly warlock, you know, stirring this big pot of bad intentions that he's going to pour out on you and me, anyone who doesn't do what he wants. That's not really the picture that you and I should have of God. It's important to understand what the Bible means by a curse. When sin entered our world, it brought with it a curse. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and sin causes, sin creates death in a variety of ways. Yes, physical death ultimately, but also separation from God or spiritual death. It causes the death of normal emotions. Sin causes the death of good relationships with other people. Sin can, yes, even cause financial death, which can lead to a lifetime of poverty. When you obey God's will and you do life his way, you enable his blessing to flow toward you. And when you disobey God's will and you do life your own way, you just put up this barrier, you block, you erect an obstacle against his blessing. So the result of living without the blessing of God in any area of life, including our finances, is to experience a kind of a curse. So here's an image I want to leave with you as we think about this. Without God's blessing and protection, every person is vulnerable to what we might call the rain of financial circumstances. Now, we all know that rain falls in different ways. And sometimes it rains really hard, yes, torrential rain. While at other times it just kind of sprinkles or drizzles a little bit. And by way of analogy then, sometimes we have these tremendous earth-shaking financial problems, while at other times we often just have these minor financial difficulties. And regardless, we can go through life with no protection or help from God financially. And I think that's the kind of curse that God is talking about here. However, when we tithe, when we consistently put into practice and we live out God's will for us financially, we move then under the umbrella of financial grace. Okay? And under His umbrella, God both blesses and protects us financially. Now, folks, here's where we need to be careful, because frankly, we've got these health and wealth false prophets out there that make all these ludicrous promises about money and so forth. It would be a foolish lie for me to claim that people who tithe never get an unexpected bill, they never face financial difficulties. That is absolutely not true. But over the long journey of life, year after year, decade after decade, people who tithe look back over those years and they can tell you many stories of how God's grace and God's blessing had a definite financial dimension to it. And sure, you can decide to get out from underneath God's umbrella of financial grace by not tithing, and you will likely get soaked by the rain of financial circumstances. God allows you to make that choice. It's a really dumb choice, but unfortunately, many followers of Jesus make that choice. A sixth question. What are these windows of heaven? Well, God says here in Malachi, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows. Another word for it is floodgates, maybe in your translation, the windows are the floodgates of heaven. For you, I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Now, floodgates or windows, they're simply an image that underline the fact that God wants to bless us and bless us abundantly. I mean, it reveals there both God's desire to bless you abundantly, as well as to point to the abundance of the blessing itself. I want you to know something here very important. Notice how the Lord invites you and me to test Him out in this matter. Folks, this is the only place in the Bible I know of where God gives us permission to test Him to see if His claims are true. Most of the time, if you want to test God, God doesn't take that well, okay? But when it comes to money and time, He says, go ahead, put me to the test. See if this works or not. It's as if God gives us permission to pour His blessing into our lives. And it's true of every area of life, including the financial area. Doing life God's way, we open the pathway of God's blessing. Do life our own way, we forfeit the blessing God wanted us to have. It's our choice. There's a story of someone who visited a huge grain farm up in Canada, 2,500-acre farm. Can you imagine? That's a big area. And he asked the farmer how he planted his crops. Well, do you think that farmer pulled out an ear of corn and popped out a few kernels and then planted them one by one as he walked along? No, that's not how he did it. Not on your life. Instead, that farmer showed that man who asked the question a huge distributor about this machine that was about 30 feet wide. And he told him, we get this double tandem truck, and we fill it with certified seed, and we back it up to that distributor. We open the slots, and we pour the seed into the soil. And he went on to say, if you're going to be cheap, don't be cheap with the seed. Because one bushel of seed yields 30 bushels of harvested grain in a good year. 30 to 1. That's a pretty good return, yes? And God says that if you will put him to the test in this area of tithing, he will bless you. He'll bless you abundantly. Don't be cheap with the seed. Again, folks, got to be careful that we don't overstate what God is saying here, because we have people that do that. God does not promise to make any tither wealthy. Okay? He doesn't promise that you'll never have financial problems. I think he does promise to meet your needs. Doesn't promise to make you wealthy. And it's also obviously true, isn't it, that there are godless and evil people who attain fantastic financial wealth, while there's these good godly people that kind of stay financially marginal all their lives? Well, that's true. It's just like we have evil people who enjoy wonderful health, and you have great people that are sick all the time. What gives? But if you want blessing, real, genuine blessing as God defines it, that reaches beyond this life and on into eternity, you will choose to live your life as God has defined it. And that's a way that includes tithing. And let's remember that not all of God's blessings are financial, right? In fact, his greatest blessings, forgiveness of our sins, an eternal relationship with him, they've got nothing to do with money. God can bless those who obey him in an infinite number of ways, and it is his deep desire to do exactly that. A final question. Does God protect me financially when I tithe? Well, I believe that's exactly what's suggested here in this scripture. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So this is an additional way that you and I can think about that umbrella of financial grace that God extends to people who live his way financially. In the Old Testament, those insects, like a plague of locusts, might come through and eat every last thing that's green. Or a disease or a drought might prevent anything from growing, and the result was financial ruin, economic poverty. And so there's a principle here that can carry over into your life and mine. There are many things that can eat up or destroy our financial resources today as well. It could be chronic unemployment or underemployment. It could be a barrage of unexpected bills. It might be, you know, all the appliances in your home breaking down at once. It could be illnesses not covered by insurance. It could be investments that go south or money owed to us that's not repaid. Again, let's not overstate what God promises. God does not promise you as a tither that you're never going to lose your job, or your car will never break down with a costly repair, or your one-year-old refrigerator will never blow up. The Lord still uses all of those kinds of challenges in everyday life to get us to trust him more fully at every level of life. The promise here is about not getting wiped out financially. And what I hear here is that when we tithe faithfully, God not only blesses us, but he also holds back from us the kind of financial disasters that might destroy us. There's all kinds of blessings that result from tithing. I enjoy one story about two businessmen named Fred and Bob. Fred and Bob were flying a small plane, and They had to crash land this plane on a small uninhabited island in the middle of the ocean. And after they kind of made a little rough camp for themselves there on the island, Fred admitted to Bob that he was concerned that no one would be able to find them. And Bob just looked very relaxed. He says, don't worry about it. He said, I've got this covered. I make $20,000 a week. Well, Fred was not overly impressed by that statement. And he said, well, so what? I mean, we're out here in the middle of the ocean with no form of communication. What difference does it make how much money you make in a week? And Bob just shrugged. He said, you stick with me. I've got it covered. I make $20,000 a week. Well, Fred had had a bad day. And so he kind of blew up at this point and said, what difference does it make how much money you make in a given week? And Fred just smiled and shrugged and he said, don't worry about it. He said, I make $20,000 a week and I tithe. My pastor will find me. Just thought I'd inject a little levity into an otherwise serious and sometimes controversial subject. But here's the thing. I want you to know a couple of things. I want you to know, first of all, that Cheryl and I are pleased and blessed and grateful to tithe more than our income to the work of this congregation. Now, why do I tell you that? Because I want you to know that I would never ask you to do something I don't do myself. Okay? Secondly, I want you to know that this church deserves to be tithed. Do we do everything right here? Probably not. Do we sometimes get things wrong? Yes. But I can assure you that we are trying to do God's work in God's way. And so I encourage you to think about tithing to this congregation if you don't already do that. How can you and I get and keep God's blessings in life? Folks, there's obviously a lot of different answers to that question. We've just touched on a few of those over the last three Sundays, okay? But here's one that I would just offer to you because Scripture says it's one way that you and I get and keep God's blessings. Give God the tithe. Let's pray. Father God, we thank and we praise and we honor you today for your blessings and your grace and your goodness to us. Lord, we understand your blessings are beyond our imagination. They come in so many different ways and forms. We can't even imagine all of them, but they're wonderful. They're great. And Father, we don't want to block anything that you want to give us. And we've just reminded again today that really, those blessings, whether they come to us, it's really our choice. Are we going to live your way? Well, then we open our lives to your blessing. Are we going to say, nope, I'm perfectly content living the same old way? Then we're going to block a lot of your blessing into our lives. And Lord, there's an important financial dimension to that we need to understand as your children. And that when we live our lives before you, even financially, in a way that honors you, we invite your blessing into our lives. Father, this message today isn't meant to make anybody feel terrible or to condemn anybody. But Lord, where necessary, it might need to convict someone. And so we just ask that your Holy Spirit do whatever work in each of our lives that he needs to do. on this matter of financial giving and tithing and just living before you in a way that honors you financially. We thank and we praise you today for all of your blessings made real to us through your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.